Hello, everyone. This is Frank Dunn reading for you from the Revered Journal, August 19th edition. On behalf of the Talking Information Center in Marshfield, Massachusetts, at Broadcast House, RPS helps students gear up for the school with new backpacks, and the Revere Council approves a Foster Street residential development permits. Which one shall we do first? Let's do the one about the backpacks. Last week, Revere Public School students received assistance in preparing for the new school year as hundreds of backpacks filled with school supplies were distributed to families during the district's annual back-to-school backpack giveaway. The event held Monday, August 11th, that was a few weeks ago, last week, at the Revere High School Gymnasium, brought together RPS staff and volunteers, the City of Revere, the Revere Police Department, members of the Revere School Committee, and the Mayor's Office to make sure students had some of the essentials they needed heading into the first day of school. This year's backpacks and school supplies were generously donated by candies, cradles, continuing a community effort to ease some of the back-to-school expenses facing local families. Families began arriving at 4 p.m. or before 4 p.m., which was the start, and volunteers were present to distribute the new backpacks and supplies on a first-come, first-served. That is properly spelled to S-E-R-V-E-D basis. The event provided an opportunity for students to select a backpack while reconnecting with familiar faces from across the school district as the countdown to the new school year continued. The Revere Police Department also supported the event as part of a growing an ongoing community outreach and commitment to helping Revere students and families. Members of the school committee, the mayor's office, and RPS staff and volunteers pitched in throughout the afternoon to help organize and distribute these supplies. For many families, the annual giveaway provides more than just a new backpack. It's the cost of school supplies accumulates rapidly. The event ensures that students can enter their classrooms on the first day of school fully prepared and eager to learn. RPS officials thanked Cradles to Crayons for its generous donation and recognized the many community partners and volunteers who helped make the event possible. The backpack giveaway was one of these several efforts taking place across Revere Public Schools in the weeks leading up to the opening of school as teachers, administrators, and staff prepare to welcome students back for another year of learning. The collaboration among Cradles to Crayons, or Revere Public Schools, the Revere Police Department, the school committee, the mayor's office, and school volunteers reflected the community-wide effort to support Revere students and give them a strong start to the 2026-2027 school year. Go get them, kids. And now for something completely different. Revere Council approves the Foster Street residential development permits. That's by Adam Swift. The Revere City Council cleared the way for 170 new apartments to be built on Foster Street and the corner of Broadway at last week's regular meeting. One of the apartment buildings is slated for the longtime Burnett and Moynihan Lumberyard site on Foster Street and will include 42 parking spaces in addition to 85 units. The current owners of the Lumberyard will maintain a stake in that development as the current Lumberyard buildings are raised. The second apartment building will be on the opposite side of Foster at 40 Foster and 310 Broadway. The project will be more of a mixed-use development. The project is being developed by Eastern Equity Partners of Revere, led by local developer Jamie Russo. The current businesses at the 310 commercial building, including M&T Bank, Tufts medical and Polanski insurance will remain as part of the project, according to project attorney Brian McGrail. There will be additional parking spaces for the Broadway project, but they are all set aside for the commercial and retail use of this time, according to Russo. During last week's zoning subcommittee meeting, Ward 4 Councilor Paul Argenzio said the project, which is in his ward, has his full support. Councilor at Large Michelle Kelly said she has heard from a number of residents who have issues with the project. I respect the views of those who support the project, but I have similar concerns of the residents who contacted me, said Kelly. It's in a nutshell. It boils down to density and cumulative impact for me, and whether that this particular level of residential density is appropriate for that specific location. It's a small corridor. It is often heavily traveled and congested. It serves the Hill School. It is adjacent to the fire station, and soon the building across the street is going to be the home of the new 911 Emergency Communications Center and Early Childhood Development Center. Kelly said she understood the argument that replacing the existing lumberyard would reduce congestion and that residents would not receive residential parking permits, but she said those factors would not eliminate the traffic generated by residential development on the proposed site. During the regular council meeting, Kelly cast the lone no vote against a special permit approvals for the two apartment buildings. And here's something about the Revere Affordable Housing Trust Fund. The Board of Trustees of the Cities of Revere's Affordable Housing Trust Fund, AHTF, held its regular monthly meeting last Wednesday evening, August the 12th, in the City Council chamber. On hand for the session were Chair Joseph Gravelisi, Treasurer Aneo Useki, and fellow board members Dean Harris, Matt Wolfer, Layla Petrie, Laurie Manzo, Deb Frank, and Judy Goslin. Usek presented the treasurer's report. He said the HTF has a balance in its account of $999,000, which includes $4,000 received in interest from the past month. The members discussed the final draft of the application for the buy-down assistance program for first-time homebuyers that the AHTF has been working on for the past few months. The program will provide financial assistance that will help persons to buy homes that they otherwise would be unable to afford. The program is designed to benefit those with incomes ranging from 60 to 120% of the area median income, also known as the AMI. The property will be deed restricted if a homeowner sells the home within 10 years. The homeowner will have to resell the property at the then affordable price level. If the homeowner sells the property between 20 and 20 years afterwards, any profits will be split between the homeowners and the AHTF. After 20 years, the homeowner will be able to sell the property without any restrictions and keep all the profits. In order to be eligible, applicants must either be a resident of Revere for at least 2 years or have a child in the local schools or be full-time 30 hours or more employee of the Revere-based employer. Usuke, you tell me how to pronounce it, suggested some tweaks in the application regarding the requirements of the program, and Gravely said he would incorporate Useki's suggestions before the application went, quote, live on the city's website. Gravelis also said that October 21st will be the opening date for the application process, with a closing date of February 3rd, unless the available funds in the program are expended before that date. Those who have been approved for funding them will have until May 3rd to avail themselves of the funding. Otherwise, the funds will revert back to the AHTF. The board unanimously agreed to the final form of the application and the timeline. The numbers then discuss, the members rather, then discuss how to get the word out to the community, including banks and realtors, by means of press releases, social media, and flyers. We'll be flying around there. The members next discussed renewing the Senior Citizen Home Repair Program, which last year assisted 12 Revere senior homeowners with grants that totaled $50,000, with a maximum of $5,000 per grantee. The members voted unanimously in favor of another round for the program for the coming years, increasing both the total to $85,000 and the maximum per recipients of $6,000. First, funds will be awarded on a first-come, first-served basis. For those who completed applications, there will be a Q&A session for prospective applicants at the Senior Center on Wednesday, August 31st. The application process will be open on September 8th, continuing until the funds are exhausted. Gravelise ended the meeting by announcing that the AHTF's Down Payment Assistance Program provided $10,000 each to 13 new home buyers over the past year. The program had $150,000 available, leaving a balance of $20,000. Gravelise suggested that the AHTF contribute another $50,000 to the program, which would make $70,000 available to prospective home buyers for the coming year. The board voted unanimously to do so. Here's another Adam Swift story. The state grant will help Revere address flooding issues. A nearly $100,000 state grant could help Revere residents elevate critical utilities in flood-prone basements. Last week, Governor Maura Healey's administration announced more than $45 million in grants to support 97 projects that will help communities across Massachusetts better withstand flooding, extreme heat, coastal erosion, and other climate impacts. The grants were awarded through the Executive Office of Education and Environmental Affairs, EEA's new Environmental and Climate ECO one-stop program. The aim of the program is to help strengthen infrastructure, restore and enhance natural resources, and improve public safety while making it easier to access state funding for climate resilience projects. In Revere, the $98,360 grant will be used to help evaluate the feasibility of developing a utility elevation assistance program to help residents elevate critical utilities, for example, HVAC equipment, electrical panels, and boilers currently in flood-prone basements. The project will establish recommended design, flood elevations, identify retrofit strategies, and assess program design approaches, including eligibility criteria, administrative structures, benefit cost evaluations, and funding mechanisms. Quote, flooding in Revere's low-lying neighborhoods frequently damages HVAC equipment, electrical panels, and boilers located in basements, said Tom Swarovski, the city's director of planning and economic community development. The project will develop a municipal program to help residents elevate valuable utilities and reduce damage during future storms. The project will evaluate approaches to program design and funding to ensure residents can access assistance, according to Skorowski. Technical, this is a quote still, analysis will identify recommended retrofit methods, establish a design flood elevations for utilities, and develop planning level cost estimates, he said. Community engagement will help identify potential pilot participants and inform program design. Results will provide the city with a roadmap of implementing a household level resilience, a program that reduces flood impacts and strengthens community resilience. And announcing the statewide grants in Salem last week, Healy said the state needs infrastructure that can withstand flooding, extreme heat, and severe storms. This is a quote. The $45 million investment will help communities protect citizens, strengthen roads, dams, coastlines, and other critical infrastructure and lower costs, said Healy. ECO, a one-stop, is making it faster and easier for communities to access the funding they need to get these important projects moving. The inaugural ECO one-stop pilot round includes 7 state grant programs supporting projects that reduce climate risks and strengthen communities, including Municipal Vulnerability Preparedness, MVP, Action, Dam and Seawall Repair or Removal, Coastal Resilience, Coastal Habitat and Water Quality, Cooling Corridors, Culvert Replacement, Municipal Assistance, Culvert Replacement, Training Site, and Planning Assistance. A total of 97 projects received awards, including 71 municipal projects, 14 regional planning agencies, 7 nonprofit organizations, 2 tribes, and 3 other public entities. We've seen firsthand this summer how heavy, sudden rainfall can overwhelm aging dams and culverts, how extreme heat can harm vulnerable populations, and how storms can drive bacteria to our beaches and strain our wastewater systems, said EEA Secretary Rebecca Tepper. The ECO one-stop program, this is a quote, combines the power of many of the state's major environmental grant programs in one place, so municipalities can act quickly and think creatively about how to invest in their communities. Investment, we're making sure that the water has a safe place to go during downpours, that communities can cool down when temperatures rise, and that our most treasured resources, natural resources, are preserved for generations to come. New teachers begin at the high school, the RPS. Journey with Orientation Week via public schools welcomed new teachers last week as educators gathered for new teacher orientation, an annual program designed to introduce new staff members to the district, its schools, and the communities they will soon serve. This orientation, facilitated by RPS educators Matt Costa, Christina Porter, and Nancy Martell, and Ann McLaughlin, Rick Norris, Michelle Vale, and Jill Foley, provides new teachers with an opportunity to become familiar with the district before students return for the first day of school on August 25th. Throughout the week, the new educators will be taking part in professional development and training while learning about district resources, expectation, programs, and the diverse community that makes up the Revere Public Schools. The week kicked off last Monday with a welcome from Assistant Superintendent Dr. Richard Gallucci, Dr. Danielle Mokaba, Bernardo and Dr. Lourenco Garcia each spoke about the excitement surrounding the arrival of the new group of educators and the important role that they will play in the lives of Revere students and families. The assistant superintendent encouraged the new teachers to view their arrival not simply as a beginning of a new job, but as the part of a journey within RPS. They spoke about the collaborative culture of the district and the opportunity educators have to grow professionally while building meaningful relationships with students, colleagues, and families. Gallucci also highlighted the supports available to educators throughout the district, emphasizing that new teachers not expected to navigate their first year of Revere alone, from school-based colleagues and administrators to mentoring, professional development, and district-level resources. RPS has developed a network of supports designed to help educators grow, succeed, and thrive. This support begins during orientation. In addition to training and professional development, the week allows new teachers to learn more about Revere itself, an important part of understanding the students and families they will serve. The district's mentoring program will continue that work throughout the year, connecting new educators with experienced colleagues who can provide guidance and support as they settle into their classrooms. For Costa, Porter, Martell, and McLaughlin, Norris, Vail, and Foley, new teacher orientation is also an opportunity to begin connections among educators who may work in different schools and grade levels, but are beginning their RPS teacher experience together. Those relationships can become an important support network as teachers move through their first year in the district. With the opening of school just weeks away, the new teachers will soon transition from orientation and preparation to their individual schools and classrooms, where they will meet their colleagues, students, and families. The RPS continues to recruit candidates for several remaining vacancies ahead of the new school year, with many of the openings concentrated in special ed and English as a second language positions. Qualified educators interested in joining Revere Public Schools can view current openings and apply through the employment portal. This week's newest educators, however, the hiring process is complete and a new chapter is beginning, one that will officially get underway when Revere students return to classrooms on August 25th. Here's an editorial page saying Governor Healey does the right thing to ban Kratom. The decision last week by Governor Maura Healey and the Mass Department of Public Health to issue an order classifying Kratom as a Schedule 1 drug, thereby effectively banning the sale of Kratom products, removes the dangerous and highly addictive substance from store shelves in our state. Kratom is derived from the leaves of a tree in Southeast Asia, where it has been used medicinally in its natural form for hundreds of years with a low degree of dependency when used in moderation. However, in this country, Kratom products flooding convenience and other stores bear little resemblance to the traditional herb. I'm not talking about Herb Oscar Anderson. It's an herb. Instead, manufacturers are distributing highly potent extract powders, tablets, and gummies that isolate and concentrate Kratom's active alkaloid, 7-hydroxymethoxazine-7-OH. I'm not even going to try to pronounce that word. Because these commercial products have been completely unregulated, consumers have had no way of knowing the dosage or chemical purity of what they are ingesting. It is these hyper-concentrated products that lead rapidly to dependency, causing withdrawal, and an elevated risk of overdose, especially among curious children and teenagers. A number of cities and towns across the state, recently Revere, already have taken matters into their own hands by banning the sale of Croton products in their communities. However, local ordinances create a patchwork defense that allows buyers to simply drive to the next town over Governor Healey's sweeping statewide ban establishes a uniform line of defense, ensuring that these unpredictable and hazardous products can no longer be target the health and safety of our youth anywhere in the Commonwealth. The early voting and voter registration deadline, the primary is on September 1st. That's a Tuesday. Polls open at 7 and close at 8 p.m. Revere City Hall is at 281 Broadway. And you can do early voting there on Saturday the 22nd, 8:15 to 5, Sunday, August 23rd, 10 until 2, the 24th, Tuesday, 8:15 till 5, Wednesday, the same, 8:15 till 5, Thursday, the 27th, 8:15 till 5, and Friday, the 28th, 8:15 to noon p.m., 12:15. Pleasant Street entrance to Revere City Hall is accessible for people with disabilities. Question 781-286-8200. Again, this has been Frank Dunn reading for you from your local Revere Register on behalf of the Talking Information Center. It's my pleasure to do this weekly. I hope you all get out there and have another wonderful and safe summer weekend.